KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and In the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and In the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Open us up.
Hey, we got a great show today. We're going to talk about hunting and fishing right here in South Dakota and maybe make fun of our out-of-state neighbors a little bit.
Will we?
I'm sure we will. But before we do, we should probably say that we do appreciate them coming, and this is going to be just a lot of fun.
Well, I see Randy Aggermeyer is already on this
morning. He's one of our out-of-state neighbors that came here and lived. That's why we want to keep him away.
And he's surviving.
By
George, I bet he's got about 25 years here in South Dakota already.
Yes.
I'm sure he's already commenting, isn't he?
Yes, he said he is sick of us.
Oh, he cannot make it. I'm glad you're sick because we're going to have all kinds of fun beating you down today.
With the people from Minnesota, don't you know?
Next week, we're going to head to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. New guy's going to join us.
Really?
Yeah.
Good
deal. We'll announce that later next week. But he's got hunting reports, duck hunting, goose hunting, and he's actually a guide on Devil's Lake for McCoyd Outdoors.
Oh, well, cool. That'd be a good show.
Part of Aaron McCoyd's crew up there. So it could be fun to have somebody new joining us. And
are they ice fishing up there yet?
You know, we burn out a few once in a while, so we have to bring some new.
Yeah, we do. That's all right.
Oh, goodness gracious. Hey, quick shout out. That McDonald's drive-thru, it must have been just fine this morning.
It was speedy. It's still shut down.
Yeah, the store shut down for a remodel, and we kind of, you know, I kind of came back and rescued them a little bit last week. But I wanted to just, tip the hat to that crew. They've been without their fearless leader for about close to 2 months now. And yep. That thing's running. They're going through a remodel. And Carol and Kurt have picked up lots of slack, and all of their crew have. They've been working their tails off, and we're going to have a new, newly remodeled with all the kiosks and those type of stuff. And you know what? When you have an office across the road from that, you kind of it's very handy.
It would be. I would be bigger than I am.
The McDonald's coffee.
They put her in my Jedi cup this morning, and it's magically keeping it hot.
Oh, they did.
You betcha.
Jedi.
It's my Jedi cup.
I'm kind of one of those cheap guys. I go with the Walmart versions instead of the Jedis.
But well, I'm sure I got this given to me by somebody. So
that helps. Yeah. I'm always into free. Well, I did shout out to, and we have a lot of people joining us here this morning already, but just sent a message saying, hey, jump in with your reports. Jump in with what you have going on in your part of the world that relates to the outdoors. If you're doing a fundraiser, if you got a show coming up, like we were going to talk about.
The Ice Institute is next weekend in Sioux Falls, the Sioux Falls Arena. It's its 10th year.
By George, that guy.
That's getting big. I mean, it's not getting big. It is big.
I remember when he was running it out of his little fishing shop.
Yeah, I went to one of them. I don't remember if it was the first one or the second one, but it was in that tiny little
bait shop
right next to the tattoo parlor he had down there.
Yes.
And it was packed, and I just can't believe it's gotten to where it is. Now it
you could
arena.
Even get your daredevil tattooed into your arm.
You betcha. You go in the wrong place, you come out with a tattoo of bait, not actually bait. But yeah, now he's got a nicer building across the street down there.
The girls in college always had a putty cat.
I went
hit
down there
somewhere.
One time, and
they would hide. Oh, you got the hook. Well, they'd hide their putty cat somewhere, and they would never show it to those guys in college.
I went in the wrong place, asked for a number 4 hook, and I got it to my schnoz.
Oh, goodness. Hey, you're digging me out of this hole.
Yeah.
This is a family-friendly show here.
We're trying our hardest.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you haven't had enough ice fishing, on November 18th, the world famous, critically acclaimed,
really,
Dennis Kasubi,
really,
will be at the Esteline Legion Hall for the Glacial Lakes Walleye Meeting.
Oh, the Legion Hall.
Oh, if you
did, I tell you I was through there the other day. I went up to a football. I went down to a football game. Isn't South down to Esteline?
I would think so. Unless you're
cruising right up Main Street. There was 2 cars parked in front of the bar. Thought I'd go by that.
It's pretty. Yeah, you don't.
American Legion right over here on the east side of the road. Nobody there.
Really?
It was quiet.
They're from Esteline. They park in the back.
Oh.
They go in all the
things. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? So he'll be speaking. Where's Kasubi from? Is he from Northeast South
Now
Dakota?
He lives on Lake Traverse.
Oh.
But if you haven't heard Dennis speak, I'm telling you, he's awesome to listen to. He's a great guy, good friend of mine, and probably the closest you'll ever get to listening to Dave Gens, because him and Gens are friends, and he's a good guy.
They've probably bounced a few ideas off of each other.
They fish together
years.
A lot. So
have they?
Yep. Have they? He's a good man. And he's getting old, so you better get down there the 18th. You never know how long Dennis will be around.
Don't know how long I'm going to be around.
I hope Dennis is listening.
I doubt he's on Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
he is. And 1480 AM's not. Oh, he's on Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because 1480, you know, we don't reach much outside of 30 miles out of
Watertown.
We
get to Waverly and Crayonsburg, though.
We do.
Yep.
Yes,
Henry
we do.
Yep.
And we get down to Haydai and Hazel.
Haydai and Hazel, yep.
Yeah, because there's a couple farmers that they're on the radio down there right now. They tell me when I see them around. Yeah, well, we hear your show. Why don't you talk a little bit more about how to catch those perch? That's what he gives me a hard time about.
What, you know what you can tell him?
What?
There's no perch fisherman on this show. We need to find one. I will catch them, but I can't ever target them.
Yeah, so he really likes it when we get Bro on. We should get Kasubi on here.
Yeah. We could get him live in the studio. He'd be more fun. Watching him jump around would be just a hoot for everybody.
Oh, he doesn't sit still, huh?
Oh, no.
Good.
No. I've spoken with him several times. He's a great guy.
So,
Rich Holmes says they're having a Fallout Ministries having a self-defense seminar in the Huron Saturday at Pastralo's.
Fundraiser for mission trips. Yep. Awesome idea.
That's what you do if you're bargaining on a car and you're not winning. You get some self-defense.
Yeah. No, you learn the self-defense before you get in front of the car salesman.
Yeah, the prize is you come home with the car and a payment.
And the life insurance salesman, same thing.
It's all
the same. You better have your self-defense skills in line.
Your radar.
You don't really need the guns usually. You
usually
use your hands.
Usually.
I think Rich does one of these. This is your first line of defense. That'll usually take care of the car salesman.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I love those guys.
I do, too.
I like that.
It's a fun argument to have.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So we have is that the Ice Institute in Sioux Falls?
Yeah. Yep. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I believe.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then we have Dennis Kasubi at Glacial Lakes Walleyes Unlimited.
Walleyes Unlimited. The next Thursday, it would be like November 18th, I believe.
That sounds right. Third Thursday of the month, isn't
it? Third Thursday of the month.
Yes.
7 p.m.-ish.
And so that would be the 18th. Big show coming up in Fargo, coming up, you know, ice fishing show, too. I have nothing here on that, but that's usually a big one. And then I believe it's usually first week in December. Of course, there's a lot of people on here that can probably, correct me if I'm wrong, yeah. But usually first week in December is the big one in the Twin Cities.
Yep, it's sometime.
St. Paul
Ice
Fishing Show.
I could tell you that I have with me.
If I had my phone, I could have Googled that quick. But those are some of the things that if you're not a deer hunter, if you're not a pheasant hunter, if you're not a duck hunter, if you're not an elk hunter, those are things to do in the fishing world. But, this time of the year, and I hope Randy is still listening. Deer opener in Minnesota.
That means
means somebody's going to get killed.
It's a good weekend to be in South Dakota.
Yeah, that means someone's going to get shot.
Oh,
maybe
boy.
Even intentionally.
That's how they thin the herd at Minneapolis. They have one extra deer season. Houses are for sale the next week.
All right, Randy, we don't mean to pick on you Minnesota boys still trying to survive in South Dakota.
Right. I've seen you guys shoot. You can't hit a deer anyway.
Hey, Randy. Randy Angermeyer, everyone's listening in here. He's usually here to give us some color because he and I have gone over this this little list, and I don't know if we'll get through 10 today, but
we'll have a
these
top
are a few
10-ish.
These are kind of the list of mistakes that we see out of state pheasant hunters make when they come to our bountiful state of roosters.
Not necessarily mistakes, just things that they do.
And here's the first mistake. They come in the first two or three weekends when it's nice out. Yeah. And really, this year, I mean, they're just barely starting to get the corn out.
Yeah.
And these pheasants just they're in the corn, and until you get every last row of corn out, they're going to be in there. So there's going to be some great late season hunting in South Dakota. Yeah,
people need to understand pheasants have wings, but they prefer not to use them.
Yeah, they want the feet.
They're soon run.
They're going to run as long as the dog doesn't catch up with them. That's they're right. going to run.
They're ditch chickens for a reason. They'd rather run than fly.
And so many crops out these first couple weekends. So many crops still in the field, I should say.
We're getting a good run on it. I was
well. They're
here
they're about done with the beans, aren't they?
Beans, I didn't see any up there, and their corn's probably 50-60% out, I would guess.
Just in that area, but there's a lot of corn left.
More would come up here.
They held off a little bit on the corn harvest because it was still up 15-16% moisture, and they're like, hey, well, with the forecast, let's just let it dry down in the field. So that's kind of what's been their delay. Hey, you know what? These guys don't. They don't take the corn out just because we've got a hunter coming into town.
No, well, I mean, you go around Aberdeen, they did. They silaged 95% of it because there was not much there. Corn's
that's
almost
right.
All gone.
They had a drought up and around that Aberdeen area, and I heard the bird count a little bit challenging in that Brown County because of that. But you get west of there, and you hunted out in Hoven. I hunted, in that vicinity too. There's some pretty decent reports coming from
very good birds.
Gettysburg, Faulkton. Redfield, Huron, someone was down north of Mitchell. I mean, there's some really good areas of birds because they had moisture.
Yeah, you get from 281 west to the river,
yeah,
you're pretty much good if you stay out of that McPherson County area. That's been a little bit dry, I would guess. But
yeah, McPherson County.
Up by Leola. And...
Oh, there's areas of good birds up in that area. You know, we had Charlie on.
Yep.
From McPherson, Charlie Hoffman, a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago, and... fantastic hatch up in some of those areas.
If you got the western part of McPherson,
yes.
I would guess that's probably.
Yeah, if you got out in there, but the pier areas, a lot of these areas have really, really good hatches. Now, if you look at the numbers overall, and I think Nick Rossman pointed that out, the excitement is if you look at the 10 and 20 year averages.
It's pretty bleak.
It's pretty bleak. But for the amount of cover we still have left and the amount of CRP, which is way down on a 20-year average, there's a few birds out there.
Oh, yeah, there
is. If the farming practices in the area you're heading to are right, it's not too bad.
No, it's really not. There's even around here, I always say there's only two pheasants in Coddington County, but this year I think we're up to four.
There was a few around this area.
Yeah, I saw some. I was surprised.
I got out into some public land just thinking I was going to give my dog and myself a little exercise, and I was pleasantly surprised. They're wild. I mean, they were.
Well, they've had about 300 guns pointed at every one of them.
They're educated buggers, but that's what makes it challenging. And when you get one or two of those, you kind of feel like you've accomplished something.
Yeah, they're Teflon birds. They've been shot at and shot dozens of times, and they still keep on ticking. Don't eat them.
Yes,
they're tough.
They're tough. No breast in those corn-fed buggers out, is there?
No. Their skin's like leather.
Well, now don't take this wrong to all of our friends from Wisconsin and Minnesota.
No,
and
if it wasn't
Kentucky,
for out-of-state hunters, we couldn't hunt. They pay the lion's share of the license fees. So
they pay the license fees. Yep. They pay. I mean, they're buying fuel in our stores. They're buying shells. They're buying. I mean, really, they're buying booze. I mean, the booze tax collected in the last month in South Dakota. The cigarette tax. The cigars. I mean, really, it all.
Well,
it all adds up, the food.
If you don't believe that pheasant hunting makes an impact in South Dakota, go to Dallas, South Dakota, the night before pheasant opener. I mean, there's stuff going on there that...
You don't want to go there.
You don't
want to. It's not a family event.
I've been there. Yeah, it's not a family event. Don't take your kids. But there's money being spent down there, and them boys come to town to spend money.
Well, you look at all the lodges and all of the hunting facilities, and I have a client quite a few miles west of here. You know, they bring in this farm, brings in about $5,000 in revenue. And he said, you know what, some years, that is really, really important. And it's not only that, but he goes, all the friends that we've, made, these same guys are coming back. And, but they're spending, I mean, it's food. It's each lodge I was at a grocery store the other day. And I could just tell these ladies were from quite a ways west of town. mm-hmm. and they had four carts filled with groceries and stuff that were large quantities. I mean, buns that were stacks high because they were getting ready for that crew absolutely. Coming in.
That's an uneducated opinion if you don't like out-of-staters, but we're going to tease them nonetheless. Here we go.
Can we tease them a little?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. What's the first one you got on your list?
You know what? I have that they flush all the birds from the state grounds so we can shoot them off the roads. That's an important job that they do. They walk that state ground and they flush all them birds out to us so we can shoot them. I like that.
I love road hunting. So I'm sure happy that they did that.
I do too. And I was sad when you couldn't shoot pheasants out of the pickup anymore, but now I'm at least used to it. It's probably not safe, but it sure was easy. No, there was an old guy in Pala. He used to sit and pat shoot pheasants in his vehicle. He was so old, he couldn't hardly walk.
Yeah.
He'd park his thing right on the edge of a CRP and wait for him to come out for the gravel to get grit and shoot them as they came out.
That's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's a good German.
Yeah, that's a good German.
I'm not going to walk. I'm going to wait for them to come to me.
You know, I do have one. You call them race dogs.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dog that jumps out of the back end of this big, fancy kennel that they haul into our state. And that Rask, I mean, he's got the bloodline and he's got the papers. They let him out on the ground and he heads to the other end of the field.
Absolutely. We had them.
Scares them all out.
Scares them all out.
Yeah.
The minute they're done, they're under the field.
Well, let's go to the next field.
Years ago at Pollock, when I was guiding with Ricky Bumgartner, we had a guy from Georgia. We let his dog out and that thing was on a beeline to the far end of the CRP field. It didn't matter who was there.
He caught a scent.
Oh, he was on a scent. That guy just loved his dog. We're sitting at the bar that night having a few drinks. He comes up to Ricky and says, "So, Ricky, what do you think of my new dog?" Ricky said, "Well, I've never seen a faster dog," he said. "I'm not sure that's a good thing."
You tell it how it is, wouldn't you, Ricky?
Oh, Ricky told it exactly how he saw it, even if he saw it wrong.
Yeah, that's a good dog. Yeah, how much you pay for it? Well, I think I got 10 grand into it.
Yeah, he was a long ranger. He ranged a quarter at a time.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Hey, I got another one here.
Morning, Lucas Nichols. Chandler Mashek, good morning to you guys.
One thing about it, during pheasant season, it's nice because it lets Minneapolis become less crowded from October to December. I can go to a football game over there without all the traffic.
There you go.
They're all over here.
There you go. The tickets don't go down, though.
No, they don't go down.
$190 a pop plus a soda and a hot dog, and you're down $250.
Absolutely. $10 hot dog and a $14 beer, and you're ready to go.
Oh, the parking gets you too, huh, Randy? Oh, goodness gracious. Hey, everyone here in the last couple minutes, if you have a good pheasant hunting story, I know it's not easy to share a story on Facebook, but that's what we're doing here on the water in the air. We're just sharing a few of our stories from what we've seen, and these stories also happen to us out-of-staters, but, you know, we got to poke a little bit at the out-of-staters. I mean, they're bringing a lot of money and a lot of good revenue, tax revenue to our state. So
yep.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely. And they do spend the money. That's great. And they usually do it in Cabela's and Shields, so they never have any orange clothing carryover. I mean, they buy them out of orange clothing.
They got to have orange on.
I've seen orange brush pants for
really?
Goodness sake. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to see him.
Oh, yeah, you're looking good.
You're going to see him. Well, don't you have to have orange on? No, you don't have to.
No.
But if you're going to be around and
state
you expect.
I think you got to have orange on, right?
Probably in deer hunting season, which that's a couple weeks away. So
if it's in Minnesota, you should have orange Kevlar.
Get out of my deer stand, you son of a.
Hey, I shot
boom!
A deer up there.
Oh. Yo. Were you in my deer stand for the last time?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, good. Good morning, Rick Darling. You know, duck hunting fool up there at Devil's Lake. Good guy. Golly, I've seen some beautiful pictures he's posted lately.
One thing, if people are sick of pheasant hunting around here, it's time to fish.
Oh.
If you can't catch a fish this time of year, you should sell your rods.
Yeah, they're even catching some nice ones from shore on Lake Pesca.
Really?
We never mention that lake very often. I'm telling you, that's like been The Dead Sea, but
it's that big body of water out here, right?
It's right next. It's why they call us Watertown.
Okay, good, cool.
Beautiful lake, but it's struggled with its fishing since, you know, for a long time. Every once in a while,
as a matter of fact, this time of year, I've always said it's easier to catch the fish from shore than it is in a boat. For whatever reason, them fish want to chase bait in, not bait out.
For the first 20 years that I fished, I mean, that's what we did. It was all shore fishing.
Yep.
I mean, we felt lucky if we could jump a ride on a boat and get out in the middle of a lake, but most of it was shore fishing. Good morning, fellas. Good morning, Josh Olson.
Is that Josh Olson from up in Lemon?
Well, there's a Josh Olson or two around. This might be the National Guard Josh Olson. Josh, clarify that. Thank
there's
you.
A
good
lot
morning
of
for joining us. There's a few Olsons and Johnsons in this country.
Doctor, yes. There's lots of Johnsons and Jensens and Olsons and Svensons.
Svenson. I haven't heard of Svenson for a while, but there are some Svensons.
There's some Svensons. Well, very good.
Or Jens.
Jens. There's lots of those.
Our good friend Jens Broughton from North Dakota. Just chatted with him over the weekend. But
Jens Broughton?
Jens Broughton is his name. He's a young man. It's like, you don't look like a Jens to me. I just love those good old Norwegian names. Anyway.
You bet. Viking.
There's our last. Oh, yeah. Josh Olson for Lemon.
Very good morning.
Good morning. All right. Well, Randy Grimes, we're going to send this baby over to you. We thank you all for joining us this morning on the Water in the Air. If we poked a little fun at you, come back next week. You can get us back. All right. Take care. Over and out.